And now on Nights with Steve Price from Channel 9, Neil Breen.
Joined us every Wednesday night. Good evening to you, Neil Breen.
Hello, Pricey.
You've done more to elevate the international profile of Kevin Rudd than anyone on the planet.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. No, that's not incorrect. You were the one who broke the story about the Scores nightclub incident in New York. And if it hadn't been for you breaking that story, most people around the world will have never heard of Kevin Rudd.
No.
Yes.
No. I, at the Sunday Telegraph, in 2007, broke a series of stories about Kevin Rudd's bad behaviour, starting with the Sunrise affair when they tried to change the date or the time of a Anzac Day dawn service to suit the Sunrise program.
I remember
plus
that.
The Scores
they were going to make out dawn was 2 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. And all I ever did was make him more popular. I tried to point out to the people about Kevin Rudd because I knew him from Queensland. But it didn't work. My strategy didn't work. So don't accuse me
you
of
also,
setting him on the path towards the General Secretary's job of the UN.
You also broke the story about him, whether he did sleep in the car or not with his mother when he got turfed out of their family farm that they'd been trying to rent or something. And then, of course, came the infamous New York strip club story.
So, I know.
Given what you know of him and given your dealings with him as you publish these stories, which I would imagine he wouldn't have been all that keen to
public. Not happy.
It would have been the odd call here and there.
Yes, and his language would make a 20-year Navy veteran squirm.
Yeah. So should we be supporting for the job of UN General Secretary, a man who referred to the Chinese delegation at one UN meeting as rat effers? What chance does he have?
Well, that was in Copenhagen, remember, when he thought he was going to go to Copenhagen and solve climate change for the world.
Yeah.
Yet found that he walked around in circles because no one would meet with him. But anyway, there is absolutely under no circumstances that Kevin Rudd is fit to be the General Secretary of the United Nations. The circumstance on the planet doesn't exist. He's a snowflake's chance in hell, and if he does nominate, then Cabinet should just turn around and say, thanks, Kevin, but no thanks.
Well, there was a deal apparently struck between the former Abbott regime and New Zealand with Tony Abbott's great friend, the New Zealand Prime Minister, John Key, to back Helen Clark.
We
put our hand up and said, look, if Helen Clark nominates, Australia will get behind you, the great Anzac tradition, and we'll back you all the way. Malcolm Turnbull becomes the leader, and apparently Julie Bishop and Malcolm Turnbull have now gone, oh, maybe that deal's not as solid as it once was. We don't know if we will back Helen Clark. Surely Malcolm Turnbull could not be crazy enough in the lead up to an election in a few weeks, a budget in 2 weeks, an election in 12, back Kevin Rudd.
What's in it for the Liberal Prime Minister of Australia or the coalition government in Australia to back Kevin Rudd? What's in it for them?
I would have thought nothing, but I mean, I guess
there can't be anything in
it. I guess the argument from Labor will be you've got to back your own.
Look, Kevin Rudd, maybe it will be. But what, Labor doesn't want us to back him either, do they?
I presume not. They hate him as much as anyone else.
If Bill Shorten somehow ends up Prime Minister because Malcolm Turnbull's going so bad, does he want Kevin Rudd, then the former Labor Prime Minister of Australia, being the United Nations, causing him grief? I wouldn't think so. I don't know. Kevin and his wife, they're wealthy, but they've got some nice houses, Sunshine Beach. They've got a beautiful place.
He's living in New York.
I know. Just relax. Just relax and stay out of our life. Honestly, could you imagine him travelling around the world? Oh, my God.
No, let's hope it doesn't happen. Now, Grant Hackett, it looks like he's going to make a really strong bid to get into the Australian Olympic team for Rio in the relay team. The national titles are being held, I think, in Adelaide.
From Thursday, yep.
He will swim. This is the guy, of course, who beat Kieran Perkins to win gold in the 1500 in Sydney in 2000. I was privileged enough to see that race. It was incredible. We all remember what he did when he won Barcelona when he won with basically pneumonia?
In Athens.
He stood up on the blocks, heaving his chest when he got out as a winner. He's an incredible champion, but do they ever come back?
Well, look, he already has. Look, we know that what happened. So after Beijing in 08, when he finished second, he was trying to become a triple champion. He failed in that. He came second to Malouli, the Moroccan swimmer. Now, he was trying to become the only man in history to win an Olympic title in the same event three times. He failed, and then Michael Phelps was able to achieve that feat twice in London. Now, he did come back because he didn't compete in London. He then had all the out-of-pool dramas with his marriage breaking down. Another story we had at the Sunday telly when I was there was the Stillnox addiction story. Remember that?
Mm.
All the problems he had.
Losing one of his children in Crown Casino, wandering around with his underpants on.
All the problems. Then he went back to the pool, not to have a serious comeback. He went back to the pool as sort of a form of catharsis, if you like, something, you know, to take his mind off his problems, get himself fit and healthy. He went to the rehab clinic in the US. Next thing you know, he started swimming fast. Next thing you know, he made the Australian team for the World Championships last year. He went to the World Championships in the 4x200-metre relay. He swam in the heat, but didn't swim fast enough. And then when Australia put its team in the final, he missed out. Look, in Adelaide, he's a big chance of making the team. He really only has to finish in the first six in the men's 200 freestyle, because they'll take six 200 freestylers because they can swim four of them in the heats and then four in the final. So he's a big chance of making the team. I doubt he'll make an individual swim, though. I think Cameron McAvoy from the Gold Coast will definitely
You'd love
be
to
there.
See him make the team, given what he's
I'd,
done.
I'd love to see him make the team, and I think it would be great for the AOC. I think it would be great for the Australian public. It would be a great advertisement for our team, instant publicity. I think the Olympics are going to creep up on people this year. I think the build-up's been lower key than other Olympic years. I don't think we have a real star to hang our hat on. Sally Pearson was the bright star going into London. She struggled. She's had the broken arm. We'd like to see her show some form. She hasn't really been competing much. If Grant Hackett went, I think it would be fantastic. And I think if he went, he should carry the flag.
Given in the background, the man who's mentoring the swimming into Rio is John Bertrand, who, of course, won the America's Cup for Australia. He did an incredible job in London with the sailing team. So they've grabbed him and put him into swimming. I see him a bit, and he quietly believes we've got some real chances in Rio because of the efforts that we had in the World Championships, where we've got a lot of silvers and bronzes.
We do.
And he was very keen to talk up their chances. But who would be your nomination as the best ever comeback into a sport?
I reckon
there's not many of them. History's littered with those who haven't.
No, there's not great comebacks. There's a lot of failures. Ian Thorpe before London comes to mind. Remember how bad that was? He didn't even get out of the heats of the Australian titles in the 100 or 200 freestyle. Mm. I tell you, there is one comeback that was rolled gold success, and it was Michael Jordan in the NBA.
Yep.
So Michael Jordan, magnificent college player, bang goes to the Chicago Bulls. They win three titles in a row with Jordan. He abruptly retires. He tries to play baseball. He was pushing 30. People didn't know what he was up to. He was out of the NBA for 18 months. It wasn't insignificant, Steve. It was quite a while. And then he came back in 1995. It was in about April of that year. I remember it because I was in the United States at the time. I was there for a wedding in 95. Then in 96, 97, 98, they peeled off three more titles. So there you go. Michael Jordan's the most successful comeback of all time.
Anna Mears, probably in cycling after she broke her back, came back and is still riding really strongly,
she stuck with it. Look, a lot of great players in all sorts of codes have tried it. A lot have failed. Tony Lockett, remember, he tried to come back into AFL. It was a disaster. He only kicked a couple of goals. You know, the list is absolutely endless.
Just on sport, I note, as an aside, they're spending another $338 million. I know how you're very keen on talking about stadiums. In Sydney. They're spending $338 million to upgrade Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne. That's the tennis centre. I've got no idea. That place keeps getting money spent on it. It's a constant construction zone. I would like to know where they get the money. They've ripped out the front stairs for any of our audience in New South Wales and Queensland who've been there. And they're going to change that to make new way for new food outlets. They're going to have a media centre of all things and a new footbridge. It's going to cost $338 million. Could we please plough some of that money into junior tennis?
Or do something else with $338 million? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the place. It's absolutely fantastic. It's been built and redone and looked after all the way through. You know, there's Margaret Court Arena right next to it. There's sort of not just Rod Laver Arena now. It houses, I've seen the tennis there. I've seen concerts there. Fantastic.
Well, you walk down the back end of it. There's clay courts, 10 of them. I don't know how anyone in Australia wants to play on clay, but it's there if you want to.
But every time I turn around, Steve, some government member from Victoria says they can't play for health, pay for health. But from Queensland, Anastasia Palaszczuk says they can't do this. In New South Wales, they can't do the other. They need to raise the GST. But then in New South Wales, we want to spend $1.6 billion on stadiums, yet not one person in this city can agree on what to do.
Just shows you why Malcolm Turnbull and his idea to give state governments the right to raise income tax and then spend it how they liked. Let's thank God that all fell over very quickly.
In 2 days. What an embarrassment.
Always a pleasure to catch up with you, mate. I'll talk to you soon. Channel 9's Neil Brown.